It is Wednesday, March 19, 2008. I'm Simone Costello with Dave Bowden and Abby Crosby, and this is Centennial College Radio News to 9:30. In the weather, expect cloudy skies with freezing rain today, with a high of 6 degrees and a low of minus 2. And here's what's making headlines. The verdict is in for a Ryerson student who faced expulsion for creating a study group. The Leafs played the Islanders last night, and Dave will have the highlights from that game for you in sports. And in entertainment news, the film industry has lost one of its great directors. Abby will have the latest on Anthony Minghella's death. Now to our top stories. Detectives are still trying to figure out what drove a local man to murder his wife. Police were called to a high-rise in the West End yesterday afternoon after a frantic 911 caller claimed he had just killed a woman. As it turned out, the caller was the victim's husband. The woman was pronounced dead at the scene. According to police, she died of slash wounds to her neck. Police have taken the man into custody. Reports this morning indicated that two people are being quarantined at Toronto East General Hospital. Apparently, the two were exposed to the bird flu virus while visiting Bangladesh. In world news, the Dalai Lama has offered to step down as leader if things continue to spiral out of control in Tibet. His reaction comes on the heels of escalating Tibetan demonstrations that have turned deadly in the past few days. Meanwhile, an Oshawa teen is anticipating her arrival back into Canada after narrowly escaping jail time in another country. The 15-year-old was headed back to Canada after a class trip to Hong Kong when she was arrested for stealing a pair of sunglasses at an airport kiosk. Fortunately for her, there were no charges placed, except for a $140 fine. There is no word yet as to when the student will return home. And in a more local court case, Ryerson University has decided not to expel a student for creating a study group on Facebook. Chris Avenir, a first-year engineering student, was charged with 147 counts of misconduct for his actions. That is one count for each person who joined his group online. In other local news, public access issues have put Pape Station front and center in the TTC's modernization plans. One of the city's oldest stations is moving into the 21st century with a raft of new features. Michael McKiernan reports.
The next station is Pape Station.
According to TTC Chair Adam Giambroni, it looks more like a Tim Hortons than a subway stop, but not for much longer. Pape Station is all set for a makeover. The TTC has made the East York Station its top priority on the list of sites slated for renovation. City officials think Pape is showing wear and tear for more than 40 years without an upgrade. Accessibility is at the heart of the proposal. The plan calls for new elevators to the platform and a second exit on Lipton Street. Karen Campbell commutes downtown from the station every day.
The elevators are a good idea because there's so many stairs that it's a bit of a struggle for people going up and down them. If you ever have anything with you, like a suitcase, like if you're ever going to the airport or something like that, then it's a struggle. And I guess for mothers and older people, it's a struggle every day because they have to go at least down the stairs with their whatever stuff that they have with them. So the elevators would definitely be welcome.
New signs on the station will make it visible from Danforth Avenue. The TTC hope they will make the stop look less like a coffee shop. A new roof and public art are also part of the plans. They will take the total cost of the renovation to almost $21 million. Work is scheduled to start next year. The target for completion is 2 years from now, sometime in 2010.
Arriving at Pape Station.
Michael McKiernan, Centennial College Radio News.
And that's the latest news. Now here's Dave with a look at sports. Dave?
Thanks, Simone. Well, the Leafs refused to roll over and play dead in their hunt for the playoffs. The Buds beat the Islanders last night 3-1, despite a fluky goal and the absence of their top two players. The Leafs went down 1-0 in the first period, when a shorthanded clearing attempt by the Islanders' Rob Davison fooled goalie Vesa Toskala and bounced 174 feet into the Leafs' net. The Leafs shrugged off the fluke and managed to come back in the third period. After Kyle Wellwood tipped in an Alex Steen shot, Pavel Kubina scored his third game-winning goal in a week, and Alexei Ponikarovsky sealed it for the Leafs with an empty netter. It wasn't all good news for the Leafs, though, as defenseman Carlo Koliakovo went down with a hamstring injury, which will be examined later today by doctors. Despite the win, the Leafs remained 6 points out of a playoff spot, with just 8 games left to play, as the Flyers beat the Thrashers last night to remain in the 8th and final playoff spot. In other NHL action, Columbus blanked Calgary 3-0, St. Louis beat Montreal 4-3 in a shootout victory, and Edmonton routed the Phoenix Coyotes 8-4. In college sports, the Centennial Colts men's basketball team played the Seneca Sting recently in a nail-biter that went to overtime after a last-second shot by guard Chris Nelson. Gord Anderson reports.
It was a repeat of their previous game when they lost 68-62 to Cambrian. They turned the ball over, their shooting was cold, and they lacked energy. Head coach Chris Smalling was happy with the win, but said it was ugly.
It's what you call an ugly win, but you know what I mean? I'd prefer to be on the side with win at the end than an ugly loss. You know, in the end, really, Seneca came out, they played us real hard, and we pulled out the win. And sometimes, you know, what you're looking for is that W, and it doesn't matter how you get it.
Overall, Smalling thought the game was a team builder. He says he liked the way the Colts competed in the second half to get the win.
I thought it was a character game for our guys. Nothing was really dropping for us. We didn't have a lot of energy all game, and to be able to come back and pull it out the way we did, really excited about how the guys played down the stretch.
Craig Nelson sunk the tying basket. He had spent a week in bed with the flu. He scored 2 points in the first half, but rebounded to get 11 in the second. Smalling knew that Nelson was in a groove, and the coach says he wanted to run the last second shot through his guard.
Craig was hot for us, and so what we wanted to do was run a screen to free him up and get him that shot from the corner. So it kind of worked out. Craig got the open look, and he was able to knock it down.
With the overtime win, the Colts improved to 11-2. They're first in the Eastern Conference. Next for the Colts is a Tuesday night game against George Brown College. Tip-off is scheduled for 8 o'clock. This is Gord Anderson, Centennial College News.
Well, Toronto racing fans got some good news yesterday when former racing great Michael Andretti and his business partners announced their intent to purchase the assets of the Toronto Grand Prix. The race was scrapped this year when the Champ Car circuit merged with the Indy Racing League, and the Toronto stop couldn't fit into the new schedule. If Andretti and his partners are successful, the Toronto race would almost certainly come back to Exhibition Place next year. Meanwhile, the Raptors will get a much-needed boost tonight when all-star forward Chris Bosch returns to the lineup. Bosch has missed the last 9 games with a sore knee, and the Raptors have been dismal without him, going just 2-7 in that time. The Raps will host the Miami Heat tonight at the ACC, and you can catch the game live on The Score at 7 o'clock. That's it for sports this morning, and now over to Abby with entertainment.
Thanks, Dave. Good morning, everyone. Some sad news for the film world. Anthony Minghella died yesterday. The British filmmaker suffered a brain hemorrhage during routine neck surgery in London. He was 54 years old. Minghella was best known for directing the film The English Patient. He won Best Director for it at the Oscars in 1997. Baby, you're a rich woman. A judge awarded Heather Mills $48.6 million on Monday in her divorce settlement from Paul McCartney. She originally asked for $250 million. The judge said this was exorbitant and unreasonable. McCartney and Mills split in 2006. People in Pemberton, BC will be rocking out this summer. Organizers announced last Friday that the small town will host a big music festival from July 25th to July 27th. Coldplay, Jay-Z, and Nine Inch Nails will head up the 3-day show. Canadian acts like Metric, Buck 65, and Wintersleep will also be playing. Tickets go on sale next Friday. And now, music news from our own backyard. At the corner of Pape and Danforth, one busker is toughing out the cold weather to give pedestrians a concert of his own. Andrew Serba reports.
Paul, his guitar, and his amplifier have become a welcome fixture in front of the local. It also supplements his retirement income. He plays for a few hours every day, usually in the evening. When it rains, he moves under a parking garage's overhang. In the winter, he bundles up and braves the cold. He says it's in the summer, though, when most people will stop, listen, and drop him some change.
Well, people love the music, you know, most people. You know. It depends on the weather, too, right?
Well, how is it? Do you find you make a little bit more when it's cold? Do people appreciate the effort?
No, they don't. More when it's warm.
More when it's warm?
More when it's warm. People appreciate the warmth and the sounds.
Local students and shoppers pass by him every evening as their day winds to a close. Alex Padiv finds Paul's music a welcome change from the area's panhandlers and the sound of traffic.
I think it's great. I think it's awesome that he's out there in the cold weather and he's still providing a service, because I feel that, you know, whenever you walk by, you still get entertainment. And even if you don't want to pitch a toonie, you still get pleasant music, and it's nice. It adds to the atmosphere of the neighborhood.
While the weather may be less than dependable these days, one thing people in the Danforth can count on is Paul's passion for his music and a little jazz to help brighten their walk home. This is Andrew Serba for Centennial College News.
That's it for entertainment. Now back to Simone for a wrap-up.
Thanks, Abby. That's all the news for now. You can hear more news coming up in about 15 minutes on the internet at ondemand.centennialcollege.ca. On behalf of Abby Crosby and Dave Bowden at Centennial College Radio News, I'm Simone Costello saying thanks for listening. Have a great day.